Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome, Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle, watch us at MyLifeSports.com. You can't reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman on Tuesday. Buy and Build, having an auction featuring cabinet sets, sinks, furniture, fixtures, carpet, hardwood flooring, and more. Auction is open at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. The first question out of your mouth will be, how was your vacation? More importantly, how was your vacation from me?
Well, it's fun to work with Sean Drotar.
He's great.
As you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Alex and Gordon and Nigel made it easier for me as well.
Right.
Monday was...
Brett obviously didn't make much of an impression.
Well, Brett hasn't been here this week.
Monday.
Oh, he was here. Well,
okay,
Monday.
I'm just going to step back from the mic and let you figure this out.
Well, no. Monday was a bad day.
Why?
Well, because the weather and the commute was brutal.
That's what I heard.
And I'm not talking bad.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
Absolutely brutal. So that was like taking laser ground balls on short hops in cold weather. It was a hard day to get going altogether.
Right.
But we got through it in good shape. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, we really started to gain some momentum.
Good.
But Sean makes that a very easy thing to do.
Good.
But good to have you back. And hope that you and Mia had a good time.
It was a very, very good trip.
Good for you.
With that, time now for the lead.
The lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
And Nuggets lose last night. Jamal Murray doesn't play in his third consecutive game. Certainly missed him. Nuggets bench, very good against Portland. Very good against Memphis. Those teams aren't great. They're not going to be major playoff contenders. Okay. Bench was great in those games. No show, offensively and defensively last night. Meanwhile, Suns, terrific. Bench, great. Durant, 30. Because the Suns won, they move up to the seventh seed. They're still going to be in the play-in as it sits right now. But there is a likely possibility, a more than likely possibility, that the Nuggets played the Suns in the opening round. The Nuggets are still on top of the Western Conference, half game ahead of Minnesota, half game ahead of OKC. We know what happened in the playoffs last year. Nuggets won that series 4-2. With that, as you watch last night's game, and one game is only one game, if there is a rematch, how do you feel about it when you compare it to last year? Are the Nuggets a better team than they were last year against the Suns? The same, or maybe not as good, and this could be even more of a struggle,
for lack of a better phrase. You could add another part to that equation. Are the Suns a better team? Nurkic didn't even play last night.
Right.
And that's two wins in Denver. And yes, we all can cherry pick, well, Jamal Murray didn't play. They still won games in Denver. How many teams have been able to say that
Sacramento this
year, right?
Well, Sacramento,
Oklahoma City.
Who could be, by the way, a first round opponent.
Yeah, no question about it. Sacramento, Phoenix, Oklahoma City have all had good success against the Nuggets this year.
Yeah.
Period.
Yep.
And Minnesota, we're playing out the hand. Still two games left with Minnesota
tomorrow
in a series that is 1-1.
Right.
So, and Michael Malone has been pretty clear about this. He's talked about the division. They haven't played well in the division.
Yep.
They really haven't. Yeah, the division is tough. I will maintain my thoughts, and we've talked about this early this week at various times, I think that the Nuggets may be the hardest out in a 7-game series, maybe in the entire NBA. They are certainly one of the hardest outs in a 7-game series. If you're telling me you've got to beat the Nuggets 4 times to advance, I like the Nuggets' chances. Having said that, however, Oklahoma City has had success against them. For whatever it's worth, and I will leave it for all of you out there individually to determine it at your own rate, how much is regular season success translatable to the playoffs? Not necessarily apples to apples, But it's all about matchups.
Yes.
Everything is about matchups.
Right.
So,
and the other thing about the regular season is, when are you playing a team?
Are
they coming off a back-to-back? Right. Is the other team playing 3 games in 4 nights? Are you playing 3 games in 4 nights?
Good call.
Are you on a 6-game road trip,
mm-hmm.
and this is the final game of it?
Yeah.
In the playoffs, when it comes to time off, everything is equal.
Right.
So, when you look at where a team lost to another team in the regular season, sometimes I think you have to dig just a little bit.
You got to be careful about it. You're absolutely right. However, matchups are matchups.
Correct.
And so, and all the rest of it is, to me, noise. If you have a matchup that gives you a good shot, mm-hmm. then that obviously, the Suns have a relatively decent matchup.
Yep.
With the Nuggets.
Not
as good as Minnesota.
Well, they have Kevin Durant. That's the thing.
Well, that's the X factor.
And Nuggets have Jokic.
Yeah.
They have a better bench.
But, I mean, if the Nuggets shoot 3-point, if they're not shooting 40 times from 3-point range and not buying a shot, there's always ifs and buts.
They threw up a lot of threes yesterday.
It was ugly. I thought their offensive approach was ugly.
Well, when you're firing up a lot of threes, you're just basically saying, I don't want to get hit going to the lane. I don't want to be aggressive. I'm more than happy to settle for jump shots because I don't want to be aggressive tonight. And then you live by the three or you die by the three.
Right. Absolutely.
So they did not play an aggressive offensive game last night. They had Strother out there who likes to fire threes.
Yes, he does.
Brown will drive to the lane, but he doesn't mind firing a three. Peyton Watson, he loves his
three. Gillespie likes a three.
That's right.
I mean,
everybody loves a good three.
Yep. You're absolutely right.
I mean, the one thing that is noticeable, or at least was in last night's game, was when Jokic goes out for his minutes, it's Murray on the floor with 4 reserves.
Right.
So you have a real good offensive option. You're not going to have that same option with Reggie Jackson out there.
No. You're a different type of team.
Correct.
No question about it. And it changes any time that you take out a player like Jamal Murray, the domino effect is severe because it changes not only the starting lineup, but it changes the configuration of the bench as well.
Right.
So these are some of the challenges that you have as you try to figure out a way down the last 9 games of the season to stay healthy, because you want to be healthy more than anything else. Listen, they should win games down the stretch, and maybe they're the top seed, maybe they're the second seed. Yeah, will that remains to be seen. But probably the most important thing is that they're healthy.
And there's something else to consider, because I watched the game on the plane ride back from Miami. By the way, when we were there, I saw somebody wearing a jersey that said Heat Culture, and I just had to snicker, and I was so tempted to say something to someone. Well, your culture got you beat in the finals.
Yeah.
Because the Nuggets have pretty good culture as well.
And they're better.
Right. Another thing that was noticeable to me that can't happen when Jamal Murray is out, Nikola Jokic is a fantastic passer. You're only going to get assists when guys hit shots,
mm-hmm.
period.
Yeah.
And when it came to shooting from the floor, you know, the Nuggets shot 25% from three. Okay.
Yeah.
They shot 43% from the floor. And Jokic, in those games, with Murray out, needs to be more aggressive. You can't, in the first half, have under 10 points.
No.
You have to be far more aggressive. In the third quarter, Jokic was far more aggressive. I mean, Malone brought him in
mm-hmm.
at like the 9-minute mark,
yep.
which is something that he doesn't ordinarily do. It was kind of like that was in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That was a last ditch effort to try and get this game.
Mm-hmm.
Because ordinarily, again, Jokic doesn't come in then. But Jokic needs to be more aggressive and do better than 22 points. Not because I'm ripping on him. I'm saying that because he can do that.
Yeah.
He could have gone off for 40 last night, I'm sure, if he wanted to. But the team kept settling for jump shots. And I'll point a little finger at Nikola Jokic, something that none of us really do. He enabled this. He kept passing it out beyond the three.
Mm-hmm.
And guys kept shooting those balls. Now, granted, a lot of those guys were open. And I get it. But you got to hit them. And if your guys aren't hitting three-point shots, you got to stop giving them the opportunity to mess up. Sometimes you have to take matters into your own hands and say, you know what? I can pass to open guys all day, which is exactly what he did. But it wasn't working.
No.
And eventually the lead got the heat, the Suns lead got eventually whittled down to like three.
Mm-hmm.
But then, boom, the Suns went on a run again. Jokic needs, in some cases, to be more aggressive. And if that's the harshest thing that I'm going to say about a guy who's likely going to win a third MVP,
it's pretty remarkable.
Yes.
Yeah. I last night, I think your point is good, but last night really accentuated it. I got to a point where I was almost saying, take over, big fella.
He did to a point in the third quarter.
There were moments in the third quarter, but you're right. He could have been more assertive.
In the first half, if I'm not mistaken, was he 4-for-7 shooting?
He had six points at the half.
Yeah, he had nothing. He didn't even, I think 7 shots is what he had in the first half.
When you have a lot of guys out there who are bench players, your alpha dog needs to be the alpha scoring. When you have Jamal Murray out there and you can play a two-man game and you know this guy is going to hit shots and big shots, then your game can be more well-rounded. But there are nights where you have to be the scorer. And last night was one of those nights because you needed somebody to go head-to-head with Durant, mm-hmm. who scored 30. But just as importantly, when your bench is giving you nothing, and Peyton Watson scored 5 points late, they were stuck on 10 points.
Yeah, they didn't do much.
With their bench for a very long time. Christian Brown went scoreless, and he's been fantastic over the last couple of games. So they had an off shooting night. They weren't that great. No big deal. They're still in first place.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So what they lost to the Suns, I think that this is going to be nothing more than water sliding down your windshield at a car wash.
I agree with you.
It's no big deal.
Yeah, you take it for what it is. It's a 48-minute snapshot. What do you learn from it? I think we've already taken care of that in the first 11 minutes, 12 minutes of the show. And we move on to a game tomorrow night that will have us all on the edge of our seats.
Earlier this week when I was in Miami, I'm sure you and Sean talked about it ad nauseum, where Sean Payton came out and said, there's a realistic chance we will move up in the draft. I don't know how the two of you reacted to that. We know what that's going to cost, and it's going to cost a lot, a minimum of 3 first-round picks. But with that, there are certain guys that have the ear of Sean Payton. One of them is a guy by the name of Jeff Duncan. We'll explain who he is. Dan Patrick, he has some pretty good sources. Mm. With what he said on his radio show yesterday, maybe the word realistic coming out of Sean Payton's mouth might be realistic. That's next.
What would you do if I sang attitude.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's not unusual, you want to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hugh. Where was I going to go with this?
I don't know.
What's your name, Hurdle? I got the H right. Look, mates, just stop the music. Let's start the segment all over again because I screwed that up. And let's pretend like we're not here and go.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
That's a cleaner start. Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman, Hurdle. Watch us, MyLifeSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed. At Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman, Tuesday, buy and build, having an auction featuring cabinet sets, sinks, fixtures, carpeting, hardwood flooring, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. In the meantime, as a family man or a family woman, you do everything you can to protect your family while you're here. What have you done to protect them if, God forbid, you are not here? And if you've done nothing, you have put them in a very bad situation. My wife and I, Mandy, we met with Dan McKenzie at the McKenzie Law Firm. We were originally going to do a will. And then when I realized the difference between a will and a trust, I'm like, why the hell would I do a will?
Right.
But at least we did something. At least we did something. If you've done nothing, your family is going to deal with a hot mess on so many different levels. Take care of your family today while you can. And even if you're single, still talk to Dan McKenzie, because if you don't have kids, if you don't have a wife, there are things to button up. And honestly, you're screwing your family too, even if you're single. With that, go to 833-CO-PLANS. Call them at 833-CO-PLANS or coplans.co. Go to the best, Dan McKenzie at the McKenzie Law Firm. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Castle Rock Men's Health and Castle Rock in Aurora. See why Eric only trusts his health with Dr. Lee at Castle Rock Men's Health.
Sean Payton called it realistic earlier this week about possibly moving up in the draft for a quarterback. In the meantime, Dan Patrick said on his radio show yesterday he believes Payton will make a move for a quarterback in the draft, saying this, and I'm quoting, "I have felt all along Payton wants J.J. McCarthy, and he's not going to fall to them at 13, so they're going to have to go after him." This clip was put on Twitter and a columnist for the New Orleans Times, Picayune.
Guy great by, name.
Yeah.
What a great newspaper name.
Jeff Duncan, who is pretty tight with
very much
Sean
so.
Payton.
Yep.
Okay? They have a very good relationship. Commented on the clip from Patrick's show and said, quote, "Dan knows," and then puts up a bullseye emoji. So we know what Patrick said. We know what Payton said. We know what Duncan has commented on. So whether you thought it was realistic or not for the Broncos to move up, I don't know what you and Sean talked about earlier this week, after what both Patrick and Duncan have now commented on, do you think it really is realistic they move up?
Boy, I just keep having images of Trey Lance and the 49ers didn't have to use a boatload of draft picks to get Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. You're talking about probably three first-round picks this year's, two others, and there's probably a player that gets thrown into that mix or something like that.
Late round pick, third or fourth.
Right, something like that.
Yep.
So the question becomes then.
Well, real quick, what did you and Sean talk about on Monday and Tuesday? Did you completely dismiss it, that it was nothing more than posturing on Peyton's part? Trying to play both sides?
Yes, because I think that we use the term everything is purposeful with Sean Payton. So he's either, it's a red herring, or it's trying to get Minnesota to react. I mean, the whole dynamic now between Minnesota at 11, Broncos at 12, and the Raiders to some degree at 13 is pretty interesting right now. It's interesting that we've heard from Minnesota. The Vikings and the Broncos have been fairly have been chatty about this. We haven't heard much from the Raiders,
right?
Which I find kind of interesting. You would think that they might be the ones popping off the most, but they seem to be playing things close to the vest. It doesn't seem realistic to me. And I thought it was interesting that that Sean Payton put it out there. There was purpose in it.
Yes.
What is the purpose? I don't know.
Here's the bottom line about this situation. I like Sean Payton's approach to finding a quarterback. It's about the processor. It's not just about the big arm, because a lot of teams chase the big arm and athleticism, like Trey Lance, like a Jay Cutler, like a Jamarcus Russell. Processor is a big deal, clearly, to Sean Payton. At the end of the day, if they draft J.J. McCarthy, if they draft Jaden Daniels, if they get their guy and he turns out to be what Sean Payton thinks he is, three first-round picks, giving that up, it's a steal.
Sure is.
Okay. Here's the thing with taking risks. Major risks, life-changing risks, franchise-changing risks. There's nothing wrong with taking them. You just have to be right.
Yeah.
That's it. You just have to be right. And there's no margin for error.
No.
Because what will happen is, if you're wrong, you set the franchise back even further. And Sean Payton, by the way, won't be around to see the fallout. But if he is right, I trade four first-round picks.
No question.
If I can get the right quarterback. Yeah, but something else to consider that I don't know if the two of you talked about. Yes, it sounds like a lot to give up three first-round picks. However, I would rather have my quarterback and no first-round picks in three consecutive drafts. I'd rather not have that than have my quarterback and all kinds of cap space for the next 5 years.
Sure.
Plus, you're still getting second-round picks, third-round picks.
Yep.
And if you feel as confident as Sean Payton does about drafting, and when he was with New Orleans, they did a pretty good job, you should be concerned about not having one of the first 32 picks. But you can still build a team second, third, fourth round. But you have your guy. I don't have a problem. First of all, they're not asking my opinion or for my approval. But if this is the guy that you believe, this is my guy, then you absolutely don't even think twice about making this trade.
Absolutely.
It's a no-brainer.
Absolutely. That is a if in bold capital letters, because the margin for error is thin in normal circumstances. These are abnormal circumstances because the Broncos haven't had a first-round draft pick for 3 years. Now they've got one, and you are already roster depleted just by getting a quarterback that you've let walk and a head coach. So the Broncos are already dealing with a hand that is squarely against them. A lot of other teams aren't dealing with, in fact, there are no other teams dealing with what the Broncos have dealt themselves. So that's where you're starting from. While other teams are starting on a certain step, the Broncos process is probably five steps behind other teams. Now you get into, and I agree with you, if you have total conviction and in your hearts of hearts and your minds of minds think this is the guy, then you go ahead and move heaven and earth to do it. I got you.
Here's the
problem. But it's a huge if.
Here's the problem. When you're desperate for a quarterback, you see things that you want to see, and you tend to ignore the things that you don't want to see. It happens in almost any walk of life. You're dating somebody for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And you see the things that you want to see, and you know there are some things out there that bother you, for lack of a better phrase, that you could see as a potential problem with the person you're about to ask to marry you, but you tend to shelve those because you want to get married, you love this person, so you ignore the bad things and you marry the things that you believe are really, really good. And then 5 to 10 years later, all those good things are still good,
yeah,
but the bad things just become far more accentuated, and it costs you a lot of money with attorneys.
Well, if you can guarantee it,
you can't guarantee.
Of course,
you can't guarantee anything. No.
You just can't. So it is a very interesting situation to be in, and Sean Payton plays coy as well as anybody in the NFL.
Well, except for when he was asked in Orlando, and I this was so Sean Payton. Did Russell Wilson's contract have anything? Did you even pause about not releasing Russell Wilson because of his contract? No.
No.
I mean, it was so dismissive of Russell Wilson that, no, contract, salary cap, dead cap hit, that had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
I didn't want this guy anymore. I didn't care what it costs. It had nothing. I never even thought twice about the dead cap because I wanted this guy out that fast.
And then, and I thought I had the verbatim, but I don't, but I can.
No, the verbatim was no.
No, I know. But
that was the answer. No.
But the follow-up was, well, what do you got to have out of your quarterback? Well, first we've got to have someone that doesn't get sacked so much, which was a direct dagger.
Right.
To Russell Wilson.
And oh, by the way, for those of you fantasizing about Shedeur Sanders, who gets sacked all the time, I'm not so sure he is a Sean Payton type of guy.
He's not a Sean Payton guy, I don't think.
And I really don't think he wants to bring Deion Sanders on his staff, and he doesn't want to have LaVar Ball on steroids chirping in his ear outside the fence as the team is practicing.
I figured it wouldn't take long for you to get a shot in on that. Good effort. That a boy.
It's not an effort. Is it not a fact?
Does
he get sacked a lot?
Yes.
Okay. Is it all on his offensive line?
Oh, well, of course it is. It's all on his offensive line. That's why we're going to change out all 8 guys.
And this is what I find.
We're 8 times better on the offensive line, Eric.
And this is what I find to be interesting as I really segue here. Deion Sanders saying, I don't want my boys. Notice Shiloh wasn't mentioned.
Well, he actually did say, now we can't forget about Shiloh. Then he went into the
Shedeur
and Travis.
Okay. He doesn't want his sons playing in cold weather climates. Okay. Well, then I guess Denver's out. But why is Boulder in?
Well, he said...
why is Boulder
his
in?
His comment was, doesn't get cold in Colorado that early. And I'm like, what? Huh?
Yeah.
You play in cold weather in Colorado. Plenty of cold weather in Colorado. Regardless.
Wasn't there snow on the ground when he landed in Boulder?
I don't remember.
He looked cold at that Stanford game. I remember.
Yeah.
Well, there were other things that were chilling him in that game.
True.
So, yeah. All right. Coming up after the break, it's opening day for the Rockies. I know you spoke about it briefly yesterday.
We did, briefly.
But I want to spin it differently.
Yeah.
Okay? 103 losses. I get it. I think for a lot of people, like, it's opening day today. Okay? It's opening day.
Yeah.
I know 103 losses last year plays a lot to do with it, but how much does the complete lack of coverage from almost every single media outlet contribute to the fans' reaction of, oh, it's opening day for the Rockies? How much is the media culpable of this? And oh, by the way, I don't really think we're culpable at all. That's next.
You know that chick that used to dance a lot? Every night she'd be on the floor shaking what she'd got. Man, when I tell you she was cool, she was red hot. I mean she was steaming.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle. Presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Tuesday, buy and build, having an auction featuring cabinet sets, sinks, fixtures, carpeting, hardwood flooring, and more. Auction is open at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com/MHS. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Roller Auctions. Get what you want at the price you want. Go to RollerAuction.com/MHS, and they'll send you notifications on their latest auctions.
Rockies open the season tonight, and for some in Denver, I'm thinking this is coming as a complete surprise. Oh, they are?
Yeah.
They're opening in Arizona, right?
Mm-hmm.
103 losses, that's going to kind of put you in a position where fans are apathetic and really aren't paying attention. But the media coverage for the Rockies has been almost zero. I'll ask you. You work at a television station, right?
Yep.
It's Fox 31.
I bet most of the time they keep me.
Never heard of them. Hmm. But I digress. How much coverage did you give the Rockies during spring training?
Well, minimal.
And what do you mean by minimal? You took clips from what they sent you?
Yeah,
did
pretty much.
Did you send anybody down there?
Oh, no, no, no.
And I can't imagine.
That's after going the first 5 years, maybe, that I was here.
Right.
So, I mean, I used to make, that was a yearly pilgrimage.
Right. A lack of media coverage kind of keeps fans in the dark, unless you're hardcore fans, mm-hmm. about what's going on. Let's say for the sake of argument, and this is really as hypothetical as it gets. Players, executives, coaches, organizations, they look at the media as bothersome, the enemy, and I get that. There's always been that type of relationship, but there's always been a relationship where the media uses the teams and the teams use the media.
Sure.
But with that, generally, players don't want the media in the locker room and yada, and I get it. I totally get it. But because there's been such a lack of coverage, I think that's why it's coming as a complete surprise. Let's say the Rockies paid all the television stations, radio stations, and newspapers, blogs, whatever, to go down to spring training. They footed the bill. You think people would know that today was opening day?
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, yeah.
That's what the media is. Now, I'm going to use the Broncos as an example, and this is what I mean by my hypothetical. If all the media decided as a group this would never happen, we're not going to cover the Broncos. We're tired of the Broncos. We don't want to be around them anymore. We didn't show up for any press conferences. Sean Payton would stand on Compete Street by himself with a microphone and nobody standing there. Nobody walks in the locker room. We don't talk about them on Sports Talk Radio. They would disappear into the ether with the exception of Sundays. Literally, they would disappear for an entire season. How would you get your information?
It might take a while, but yeah.
No, the entire season.
Yeah.
Nothing would come out.
Well, it would come from them. I mean, they have a, although interestingly, they have a whole media division under their own roof that lacked access all of last season.
Right.
And that's why people are leaving from there. You know,
if we disappeared for any of these teams, I think it would sort of disappear in the consciousness, not of the hardcore fans.
No.
But generally speaking, it would be as if they don't exist.
Yeah.
And that's how we have treated the Rockies. And quite frankly, they have earned that lack of respect.
We are oftentimes the conduit between the team and the fans that follow that team, for better or worse. And believe me, I hear it all. But that's kind of where we are. You're right. It's usually a pretty positive relationship. Even with Sean Payton, who is hesitant, you know, and is fine with, and this is oversimplifying things, is generally fine with national media, but probably not quite as trusting of local media. The relationship can still work, and it does to some degree. But it's totally different than it was with Nathaniel Hackett or with it, like it was with Coops or dating back to Mike Shanahan. Everybody has different levels of relationship, trust, lack of trust, whatever the case may be, with the media. But it's always been a relationship that's been there and generally works.
Getting back to the Rockies, playing at Coors Field in Lodo is a blessing and a curse for this team.
Okay.
It's a blessing because it's a really nice ballpark,
mm-hmm.
and it's in a great area where people like to have a cocktail,
yep.
and it's like Wrigleyville and mm-hmm. so on and so
yeah.
forth. That's a blessing. This is where it's a curse. Because people keep going to the games, right? It's not forcing Dick Monfort's hand. And I'm not going to go the lazy analysis route, which is, well, he doesn't pay any money. He doesn't care about winning. They're routinely at least middle of the road when it comes to salary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're not the Tampa Bay Rays.
In fact, they're,
not
they're 16th this year. They are smack
right.
in the middle in terms of their salaries.
But where this location of the ballpark is a problem is, my opinion is, it doesn't force Dick Monfort out of his comfort zone when it comes to hiring people around him that truly know baseball.
I think you're right, but I think we're starting to see the beginning of pushback, not aggressively, maybe passively. They fell to 13th in attendance last year.
Mm-hmm.
The Rockies have the biggest, one of the biggest facilities in all of Major League Baseball. And they draw, and they have historically drawn incredibly well. Top 10, top 8, that type of thing. They fell to 13th last season. 103 losses. The forecast is similar this season. Maybe there are a few games under. I don't think there'll be any more games over that. But, you know, I mean, let's say they are at 98, 97 losses, something like that. It doesn't change the narrative very much. I think that you're starting to see, and you've pointed it out with media coverage, I think that you're starting to see a little bit of pushback from the Rockies-based fans, not the fans of the Cardinals, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Yankees.
They're going to show up.
They're going to show up
anyway,
right?
They never get a chance to see their team.
Right. They're going to go anyway. But that core of Rockies fans,
right.
at some point, you've got to tailor to their needs.
The team is spending. They're just not very good at drafting and developing, and they don't have the right people. And when it comes to sabermetrics, they are far behind mm-hmm. the curve on that.
They are.
And they can claim that they're dabbling in it. They're barely dabbling in it. They should be doing what the Tampa Bay Rays do, and they don't, because Dick just keeps wanting to hire within the family. And that's the problem. What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
The Broncos signed this wide receiver who spent the last couple seasons in Detroit. And is this the most competitive NBA's Western Conference has ever been? That's next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports. You know there's no excuse. You know you're going to lose. You never win. I'll say it again. And it's all because your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us at MyLifeSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman on Tuesday. Buy and Build is having an auction featuring cabinet sets, sinks, fixtures, carpeting, hardwood flooring, and more. Auctions open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. In the meantime, we have some breaking news this morning. This coming from Patrick Saunders from the Denver Post. Last minute, but they got the deal done, and people from Altitude are probably furious. Rockies games will be seen on Comcast this year. Okay? Which is good, because I have Comcast.
Oh, good.
with that, now I still watch the Nuggets and Avs games. I don't want to say how I watch the games, but I still watch them.
You have to see them.
Nonetheless, you can watch them on, and this is just mind-boggling to me as a guy who grew up like you in an environment where back in the 1970s, there were four television stations, ABC, CBS, NBC, and PBS. Now you can watch the Rockies on Comcast Channel 1,262.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
1,262.
The games will also be seen on Fubo. They will be streamed, will be on DirecTV as well, but not Dish Network.
I think 683 on DirecTV is the number, I think.
With that, how would you like to be Altitude right now saying, you just put them on Comcast and we can't get on Comcast?
That's a good call. That move came after midnight too, right?
Yes.
I mean, the initial,
it was up. It was published by Patrick at 12:30 a.m. this morning. He updated it this morning, less than a half hour ago. With that, time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Greenfields Pool and Sports Bar in Lakewood. Greenfields has everything under one roof, including the best happy hour in town. 2-for-1 wine, well, and drafts from 3 until 7 p.m. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Alrighty, guys, just in case you missed it, the Broncos signed former Lions wide receiver Josh Reynolds to a two-year contract with the max value of $14 million. Reynolds had 40 catches for 608 yards and 5 touchdowns last year in a high-octane Detroit offense. So the current wide receiver room is Sutton, Reynolds, Mims, Tim Patrick, Brandon Johnson, little Jordan Humphrey, and Philip Dorsett. What did you think of the Josh Reynolds signing?
He's a WR2, was in the offense in Detroit. This is a guy that's been a fairly proven receiver.
15 yards a catch.
I mean, you like that, right?
Yep.
You certainly like that. I think that their receiving room got better. Now, you could make the argument, how much does it take for them to get better? Okay. But this is a piece. It's not going to, you know, make you go out and, you know, buy the bar a round of drinks, but the guy can play a little bit. All right, we'll take it.
Yeah.
All right, just in case you missed it.
And by the way, he has no connection to the Saints.
No?
Yeah. Wow, yeah. That's a new one.
Mm.
Maybe he's been to New Orleans, though. Maybe he shared a beignet with Sean in the French Quarter.
He did start with the Rams, though, right?
He did, yep.
Rams, and then was he with Tennessee for a while?
Like half a season.
Yeah, like just a quick little cup of coffee with Tennessee, and then he's been with Detroit. So,
do you remember those two drops, though, in the NFC Championship game against the Niners?
No, but I believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, just in case you missed it, in NBA's Western Conference, 11 of the 15 teams now have records over 500, with the Rockets, the league's hottest team at the moment, now 2 games over par. 8 of the 15 teams in the Eastern Conference have records above 500. Do you think this is the most competitive the Western Conference has ever been?
Ever?
Ever is no. That's a hard one for me to get to, because I can't go about ever, but it is, for me, clearly a better conference, a deeper conference, and there are the Houston Rockets just won in Oklahoma City last night and have won 10 straight games.
Yeah.
And they're right now on the outside looking in at the play-in. So, yeah, it's a very deep conference, really deep conference, very competitive.
I'm just going to pick a random year. So just for fun, I picked the 1993.
All right.
The 1993 Western Conference. Back then, let's see, Charles Barkley was with the Suns. Akeem Olajuwon was with the Rockets. Who else did we have back then? The Sonics had Gary Payton.
David Robinson.
David Robinson was playing. And, oh, by the way, Karl Malone and Stockton were playing for
Utah.
There
you go.
I would say that all of those Hall of Famers trump what is currently going on in the NBA's Western Conference.
Hmm. Okay.
SGA is terrific. I think that Ant-Man is fantastic. We know what Jokic is, so on and so forth. But those were five teams that were all routinely competing to win the Western Conference every single year. The teams are good, and they have young players, and they're getting better. You might be able to say what you said, how competitive is it in 3-4 years when SGA becomes SGA, what we think he's going to be. And same thing with Jokic as he's still in his prime,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he sure is.
Okay, so we're not there yet, but just those teams that I rattled off, you're talking about all Hall of Famers right there.
Right.
That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, you can walk in any store, try out the appliances before you buy them. If you want to redesign your entire kitchen, they have a staff that can help you out. Big box stores, they'll sell you an appliance. You walk out the door, boom, you're done. Mountain High Appliance, totally different beast. Best appliances out there. Check out their clearance center in Denver. You can also find them in Louisville and Littleton. Coming up after the break, found this to be a real interesting story from Brian Windhorst. He wrote 20 players with the most to win or lose in the upcoming playoffs. What he wrote about Nikola Jokic I found to be incredibly interesting, because if what he wrote is true, we don't take Nikola Jokic for granted here in Denver. I think people around the country still aren't overly familiar with him, but he will be in the elite of elite of elite company, and there will be no denying his greatness ever again if he does something this year. That's next.
Save big money now on new siding from LP SmartSide at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP SmartSide today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.